Miss Dorothy?
I can't believe it.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. I need to have a quorum call. Please call roll.
Commissioner Gilliland?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson? Commissioner Cloudman?
Here.
Mayor Masarsen? Councilman Conroy?
Here.
Commissioner McGurk?
Quorum call.
Councilmember Saylor? Commissioner Sowers? Councilmember DiLorenzo?
Here.
Councilmember Ford?
Here.
Councilwoman Long?
Here.
Commissioner Revels? Councilmember Patterson?
Here.
Councilmember Denny's?
Here.
Councilmember Cusack?
Here.
Councilmember Lowry?
I'll call you back later. Here.
Councilmember Wagner? Mayor Emmett? Vice Mayor Rogers? Councilmember Wheeler?
Here.
Commissioner Shue?
Here.
Commissioner Burton?
Yes.
Mayor Gibson? Mayor Sal?
Here.
Councilmember Perone?
Here.
Linda Costello? Heather Blank?
Here.
Gillis Blaze?
Here.
Bob Stork?
Here.
And we have a quorum. And the voting member of the Small City Alliance is Daytona Beach Shores, Councilmember Wheeler.
All right, thank you very much. Please stand for pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have anything to part of your presentation to pass out, could you please give it to Ms. Blankenship back there? And appreciate everybody being here. And I feel like a third grader here. Thank you. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or silence it. If you put it on vibrate, that'll excite too many people in here at one time. So we have quite a few items on our agenda today, especially in the public comment. We do have to speak this morning Patricia Gadbaugh, Port Orange.
Yes.
Yes, you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Patricia Gadbaugh, Port Orange, as he stated. And I will preface this by saying that I happen to be directionally challenged. However, I got lost following the web instructions on how to get to SunRail on its opening day because Charlie Beale Boulevard is not on maps, and my Garmin misdirected me. It's not clear from the instructions that Charlie Bell is 1792. I also tried to get to the Lake Beresford Trail, and I decided for my 80th birthday, when all my family was coming, that they would get me to every one of the trails in Volusia County that were open. And we tried. They looked at maps. They're not directionally challenged like I am. They've traveled all over the world. And after spending a whole day trying to get to them, trying to find them and follow the instructions, I finally emailed Pat Northey and I said, how do you get to all these trails? Where are your really good maps? And she admitted there weren't any. If you are going to make the trail system part of your tourist attraction, you're not going to succeed until you have really clear maps for your tourists to follow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The SunRail DOT, do you want to speak now? I don't have a slip from
this. Yes, I'll fill out a slip before we leave. Norian Downs, the
District 5 Secretary, and Tornia Lori, Project Program Manager for Sunrail. We're just really here. We had our one-year anniversary, and we have a little video to show you, and you have a bag and a pin in there, and we're just happy we're moving forward, and things are going well. Our biggest issue, I'd say, the first year was getting our ticket vending machines to work properly, and we worked very hard with non-payment for well over a year. In fact, I don't think we're still paying them. I'm not sure, because we're holding them to the contract, and so it's gotten better. That was our biggest issue, I would say. Ridership didn't quite meet the 4,300, but we're very close. As you know, I-4 starting up, and one of the good news was, you know, we projected at least $1 billion for transit-oriented development. We're over $3 billion right now, and so we're starting to see movement with DeBerry, with interest, and we already have interest in DeLand, and so, like, yeah, those that are prayer warriors, keep praying that that we're going to get that Tiger Grant, and we'll move forward with DeLand as well, and we're getting ready to start the real phase two south. So with that, we'll show you the video.
Thank you very much, Secretary. The only other public presentation we have, item 4, consent agenda, items A through I. Does anybody wish to pull anything off the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda, Gilliland.
Second.
Motion. motion and a second. Approve the consent agenda. Is there any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, so the motion passes. Thank you. All right, we have going to open a public hearing on the draft River to Sea TPO fiscal year 2015-16, 2019-20 transportation improvement program. Do we have any public comment on that? Anybody wishing to speak to that? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Item A, review and approval of resolution 2015-12, adopting the draft of 2015-16, 2019-20 transportation improvement program. Lois?
Thank you. We presented the draft TIP, Transportation Improvement Program, to the board last month. It has gone through all of the committees for review. The document has been available on the website for review for really over a month at this point. And this is the five-year budget of transportation projects and programs and activities that will be occurring in the planning area. It includes the state and federal funded projects, as well as projects that are considered regionally significant or of importance, even if they're being built with local funds. And so that document is available. There haven't been any significant changes since the draft was presented last month, so we're just looking for approval for that document.
Any questions? Any questions?
Motion to approve, Gilliland.
Second, Wheeler.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the and review the resolution 2015-12 adopting the draft fiscal year 2015-16, 2019-20 transportation improvement program. Is there any debate or discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Without objection, so the motion passes. I just let everybody know, I am currently taking a course through the University of Wisconsin on parliamentary procedures, so yeah, I'm trying to stick to it. I've got to take an exam here in about 3 months, so I'm trying to stick as close to Robert's Rules of Order, which we operate under. It's an interesting course. You know, I'm learning 10 times more than what we normally hear in any meeting. It's amazing the number of 49 different motions that can be used in a meeting. So I appreciate your indulgence in putting up with me on this, but I'm having a good time anyway.
Are we going to see this in county council chambers too, Councilman?
You may hear a few points of order call. I've already used two motions. People have looked at me and said, "Where in the world? I've never heard that motion before."
That's good.
The motion to postpone indefinitely, which people, is just basically to kill a motion that you don't really want to have to deal with, but had a local reporter who reported it as that the county council had killed the 417 deal, and we hadn't killed it. We had just put the motion aside until we had a lot more information on it. So, but it did cause some consternation between various agencies in Central Florida. I guess they weren't used to a postponed indefinitely motion either. Okay, we're out to the priority projects list. Open a public hearing on the draft River to Sea TPO 2015 priority projects list. Is there anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing. And item B, review and approval of resolution 2015-13 adopting the draft 2015 River to Sea TPO priority projects list. Lois?
Thank you very much. This is really one of the more important activities that we engage in each year. Each year, we develop our list of priorities, and that's what we submit to the Department of Transportation, and they use that to allocate funds in this area to build their work program, which rolls into our transportation improvement program. These lists begin really in January of each year. We approve resolutions. This board approves resolutions that guide the process. We accept applications. We meet with a lot of local jurisdictions to discuss and workshop their projects. The draft lists were presented in May. There have been a few revisions, and you see that in a strike-through, but most of those revisions are really more administrative. It's removing projects that have already been fully funded and are underway and that sort of thing, updating some project costs to make sure that they're very current. There is no change in order, per se. The one thing that I would call to your attention, if you noticed in your meeting summary, the technical coordinating committee had received a motion and approved a recommendation to add a project to the top of the ITS traffic ops safety list, which was to go ahead and put back into the list a project that had been removed last year, which is ITS improvements on Granada Boulevard or State Road 40. It was removed because the project wasn't moving forward over some lack of clarity over who was going to actually manage, maintain, and be responsible for the project. And I don't think that those issues have all been worked out. The project itself has to start with what they call a systems engineering management plan, and that management plan lays all of this detail out. And there's not clarity about who is even going to develop the systems engineering management plan. So although the TCC did approve a motion to add that project again, no application was received. It didn't come through the typical process that we've been going through. So my recommendation at the staff level would be that we don't amend the list at this point, simply because that project hasn't been fully vetted. It hasn't come under public review for the importance that that has in what we do. That doesn't mean it can't be added. These lists can always be changed and updated, but I would feel more comfortable if that project went through, we received an application, we brought a recommendation through all of our committees, including our citizens committee, and we amended the list down the road once we have all the details worked out. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions?
I'd like to move that we agree with what you said.
And what are you agreeing to?
it stays off there until they get the proper procedures through.
So do we need to amend this?
It would be, what's in your package is the original recommendation of priority list, the draft priority list as is.
That's
the motion we've been looking for.
Okay, have a second on that. So we have a motion to approve resolution 2015-13 adopting the draft 2015 River to Sea TPO priority projects list. Any debate on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. Item C, review and approval of draft 2015-16 River to Sea TPO budget. Is that going to be Herb or are you, Lois?
I'll go ahead and discuss that again just briefly. This did go through the budget subcommittee of the TPO board in May. It was brought and placed on the agenda last month as a draft for review. We received no comments, no suggested changes, and we have made no changes since the draft was presented last month, and so we're looking for approval for the budget for next year.
Any questions? Questions? All we need now is a motion.
Move to approve, Dennings.
Who? Deb?
Second, okay. McGurk.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the draft, approve the 2015-16 River Sea TPO budget. Any debate? Any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, showing the motion passes unanimously. Next item is item D, review and approval of resolution 2015-14. Amending the fiscal year 2014-15 and 2015-16 Unified Planning Work Program, UPWP, MOUSE. Lois?
Well, hopefully the agenda summary was fairly clear. We have a work program that outlines how we're going to be spending our time and how we're going to pay for the activities that we engage in each year for a two-year period. And we're nearing the end of the first fiscal year, and so we're kind of realigning the the tasks and the amount of money that we have in each of the tasks to make sure that we're funding all of the activities accordingly. You know, sometimes at the beginning of the year, you think you're going to be spending a lot of time in one task, and that gets delayed, and we end up spending a little more time elsewhere. So a big portion of the first year change is just reallocating roughly $48,000 to make sure that tasks that we are spending time in are fully covered, and we're taking from tasks that we didn't spend as much time as anticipated. For the amendments that are a part of the second year, we basically have some carryover money that becomes available, as well as some money that had been held back at the state level that's now being released. So we have an additional just over 56,000 that we're allocating primarily to two tasks. One is the general planning consultant for transit. And in order to do that, really what we're doing is we're moving transit dollars from our general admin task down to transit, and then we're replacing it with the additional funds. Again, just more appropriately using our FTA funds under the transit tasks. Then we're also adding to the general planning consultant task, which we can issue task work orders for various activities that we want to engage in. So again, 15,000 in addition to the transit general planning consultant, and then 41,000 621 under our general planning consultant.
Any questions, members? Any questions?
Motion to approve the
DPWD. Second. You have the second. A motion and a second. Approve the resolution 2015-14 amending the fiscal year 2014-15 to 2015-16 Unified Planning Work Program, UPWP. Is there any objection? Any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. Moving on to item E, review and approval of the draft 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan, the LRTP project list for public outreach. Lois, again.
Thank you very much. This is, for me at least, a really exciting point in this particular project. We've been working on it for almost 2 years now. We've conducted a lot of public outreach, interviews, technical analyses. Martha Moore is the project manager for Yabian Associates, the consultant firm that's working on the project and taking the lead on the project. So she's going to talk about the project list, how it's shaped up, the financial constraints that we have to adhere to, and what we're going to be doing going forward in the next few months.
Ms. Moore, you are recognized.
Thank you very much. Again, it was Martha Moore from Giabian Associates. And we started this round of long-range transportation planning back in February of 2014 with the board retreat. And since that time, or at the beginning of that process, we developed a vision for this long-range transportation plan and a series of six goals and then objectives to meet those goals. And the vision of an LRTP really needs to reflect the vision of you, the board, you know, the metropolitan planning area, and our local governments. And those goals back up the vision, and they refer to things such as having a balanced and efficient multimodal transportation system, support economic development. We want to encourage connectivity and transportation choices, focus on safety and security, provide quality places, and also have transportation equity and public participation. So as Lois said, we've spent the last year and a half moving toward this goal to develop a project list that will support your vision for the year 2040. We've had numerous meetings with our long-range transportation plan subcommittee, the Land Use Working Group. We've developed revenue forecasts, socioeconomic data sets, environmental justice reports, congestion management process reports. We've run our traffic model on a couple of different scenarios to see how the roads will react in the future due to new employment and new population. We've also reached out into the community, not just with our traditional Make Your Mark sessions, but we also held 8 civic presentations, either Lois Bollenbach, myself, or Pat Northey, going out to civic groups, held one-on-one stakeholder interviews There was a Tell the TPO survey. And our public involvement has reached nearly 2,000 people this round. So through that entire process, it's led us to develop the list of projects that you have and to prioritize them, and that will help us move toward the vision that aligns with our goals. Now, the hard part is we have a great vision. We know what our needs are, but we also have to consider that funding piece. You know, we never have enough money to do everything that we want. So I want to go over just a little bit of the way the projects are funded. We have the SIS funding. That's the Strategic Intermodal System Projects. And that is, you know, provided to us from DOT. And the TPO can determine that priority of those projects, but there's not a lot of flexibility in how we allocate those funds. But if there's a SIS project that we'd like to see, you have the option of putting it on the needs list, and you can wait. We can use funding from the other arterial funding sources for on-system roads. And for that, we've actually funded two projects on the SIS list, which is State Road 40 from Williamson to Breakaway Trail, and State Road 100, Old Kings Road to Belterre. Now, the next level of funding I just mentioned was the other arterial funds. And we're estimating in present-day dollars that we're going to have just over $304 million available to us. These will apply to on-system roads, so state roads. And something that is new this time is that we can use up to 20% of that other arterial funding for off-system road projects or local road projects. So for this LRTP, we divided that out at 80.02%, or $243 million for on-system roads, and then 19.98% to the local roads, or $60.8 million. So to develop that on-system road list, we started with the existing 2035 priority project list. Those are projects that are already ranked. We added in those two SIS projects that I mentioned, the State Road 40 and the State Road 100. And those projects added up to about $185 million. Now, I mentioned earlier, we're going to take about up to 20% for local projects. So the difference in funding that we've estimated for the local projects with the amount we're going to spend on the on-system projects is going to leave us about $58 million that we can use on local initiative projects. And those initiative projects could be roundabouts, they could be aesthetic improvements, ITS improvements, or climate change adaptation, or complete streets retrofits. That's going to be about $2 million a year that's going to be available for funding for these local initiative corridor projects. To get back to the off-system projects, we've got about $60.8 million identified. And so we had a call for projects. We asked all our local municipalities, governments, to submit some projects they'd be interested in putting into this funding list. We went through, we screened that project list. You know, we developed a screening, some objectives based on the objectives that were developed that relate to the goals. Screened those projects, prioritized, took it through the LRTP subcommittee. And we took the top three, which are LPGA, Howland, and the north entrance to the DeLand Airport, and added them to the local projects list. Now there's another pot of funding that's the TMA funding, and that's about $65 million. And that money is spent on a 40-30-30 split, which is the 40 is ITS, and then 30% for bicycle and pedestrian improvements, and 30% for transit. And unfortunately, for transit, we have no additional funding to expand operations under this LRTP, so that there's no real funds will be able to be allocated to that. Heather could buy buses all day, but could not operate them. Unfortunately. So you have the project list in front of you, and it's also on the screen. If you have any questions about the way things were ranked or on particular projects, I'll be happy to talk with you about that.
Any questions? Any questions? We have a light. Commissioner Saylor?
Okay, we all know that when the mighty pen strikes in Tallahassee like it did yesterday, there were some cuts, which basically means that some of the things that are cut are going to be put into the next year's budget and so on and so forth. Do we foresee where any of these cut, or is this too early to really ask the question as to how that affects some of our long-range plans?
Lois, you recognize.
Not exactly sure how to answer that. Certainly the decisions they make in Tallahassee each year do affect what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish in this area. But, yeah, this plan is more of a long-range focus. And I need to make sure that we're clear. This is really the first time for this TPO, in part because of expanding up into Flagler County and in part because of the needs that we have in this area. This is the first time that we're flexing 20% of our state and federal funding to local roads. So this is new to this TPO. And I think what it really represents is a bigger issue that we face is certainly the amount of money that is available, but even more than that, it is how that money is restricted. And it doesn't necessarily suit the needs of this planning area, much like MPOs around the state certainly are facing, and I would venture to guess the nation. We have a lot of our state roads policy constrained, or we have areas where there aren't a lot of state roads. Most of the roads are local roads. Deltona, Palm Coast face that issue. And so what we're trying to do is not continually widen a single corridor. We're trying to create parallel facilities, but we are limited on how much money we can flex over. And so I think what this long-range plan has done is really try to balance that nicely. Again, likewise, we also have some limits on funding public transit, even though more and more municipalities are starting to look at that in their long range. So again, I think we've struck a really nice balance. We've opened the door for some of these more expensive projects that are really more about economic development and quality development in our corridors. So we've set aside money to help facilitate those sorts of projects. And again, we'll have to wait to see what, if anything, happens on the transit side. Now, what you don't see is the additional, although I think it's in your agenda packet, and it's an important component, and that is the county's road program. There are a lot of roads that are built with local funds, and there always have been. And sometimes when those funds end up as a part of our cost-feasible plan with local funds, it opens the door for them to access county incentive grant programs and other programs that are out there. So again, that will fold into this as well. It's just that this TPO doesn't direct that list. The county considers that information ultimately. Likewise, up in Flagler and Palm Coast, if there are locally funded projects that may be federal aid qualified and you may want to go after funds at some point, we can put them into the cost feasible portion of our plan. So again, this tells the story for the state and federal funds, but it doesn't tell the whole story yet. Ultimately, the plan summary report and report will include everything, much like our TIP includes and tells the entire story. It also doesn't include what we call the E plus C. It is the projects that are in the next 5 years, because this is from that fifth or sixth year out. So the projects that are in the transportation improvement program that haven't been built yet, and an example of that might be Phase 2 SunRail. So it's not on this list. It is on an E plus C list. It is within the 5 years. At least that's the expectation at this point. So again, there are a few projects that don't show up here. But we do have a couple of local projects that are being pursued that we were hoping to get some state funding for and didn't make it through. And there's going to be some local discussion about how to get those funded.
Commissioner, it's as one of two former state legislators in the room, myself and Councilwoman Cusack, the short version of the answer is everything is a definite maybe. So when it comes to state funding and veto, I had $2.5 million that I was working on and got it in the Senate side, couldn't get it in the House side. And in conference, we got it in the budget, the governor vetoed it yesterday. So you're back to square one, and you know, it's the way it works. So, any other questions? Okay. A I recognize somebody for a
motion. I'll move the motion, Mr. Chair, to the draft for the long-range transportation plan, the project list, QSAC.
Second, Kurt.
We have a motion to approve the 2040 long-range transportation plan project list for public outreach. We have a second. Is there any discussion, any debate? Any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. Next item of business.
Can I say one thing, sir?
Oh.
I just want to point out that our next step is we move on to public involvement, and we've scheduled 3 public meetings for this project list. And those meetings are July 22nd, 23rd, and 27th at the Daytona State College, the Sanborn Center, and Hilton Garden. You should have received a copy of this in your agenda.
All right. I saw that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please note that. Members. Next, we have item F, review and approval of the regional list of priority projects developed through the Central Florida MPO Alliance, the CFMPOA. Lois?
Thank you very much. This is the third year that we have developed a regional priority list through the Central Florida MPO Alliance. We have several members of this board that represent our area on that particular committee. And the idea here is, just as we did earlier in our agenda today, we all develop our own independent project priority lists. And we submit those to the Department of Transportation each year. And then they, at the staff level, have to sit down with all the funding that's available in this district and start to allocate those based on our priority lists. And what the Central Florida MPO Alliance has done is said, let's take a stab at that before DOT does. Let's, as a group of MPOs, look at our priority list for regional projects, that is regional transit, not local transit, but regional transit projects, regional trail projects, which are generally that statewide regional trail system that we presented a few months ago for the study that we did, and then also strategic intermodal system projects, again, those larger projects. And so what you see here is an integration of the different MPO areas throughout the district, and as MPOs, what we believe the priorities should look like when DOT starts to assign funding. And so it's much like our approach with the long-range plan, at the top of that list are projects that are already have phases funded. They've already got design, right-of-way, potentially some construction on the near-term horizon. And then we get into a whole series of I-4 projects in the case of the CIS, which are the different segments of the ultimate I-4 project. And this is consistent with what the DOT's studies have shown in terms of how they'd like to see it staged as well. And then, again, it continues down from there, and you see a number of projects. The order of the projects that are from the river to sea area are consistent with the priority list that we just approved a little earlier today. When we get into the trails funding, I have to remind you that the first year that we did this, the number one project was the East Central Florida Regional Rail Trail, which forms a part of the coast-to-coast trail here in Volusia County. And that project received funding to the tune of over $10 million as a result of the regional trail priority list. What this does is it sends a clear message to the Department of Transportation what the regional priorities are, and they're able to use their share of Transportation Alternative Program dollars to fund projects on this list. So the project list has been updated, and now you see the next, at least, project for this particular area is the Spring to Spring Trail, which was identified by the county as one of the higher regional trail priorities. We have, though, to the credit of this organization and to the project sponsors in this area, we have added projects to this list, trail projects, each year, funded them, and pulled them back off the list. So I keep encouraging the group to find a way to start to update their priority lists, much like we do each year, because we're funding projects before they ever have a chance to move up on this list. We're moving much, much faster than this list is moving. And so it isn't going to, in the long run, serve us very well. But these are the lists that have been developed. And I think for our members that sit on the Central Florida MPO Alliance, we're looking for support from this group for them to go forward and approve the lists to be submitted to DOT. It's probably important to note this is a very beneficial exercise for us to go to, but there's no requirement for the department to follow it. It is expressing our intentions.
Thank you, Lois. Any questions? Any questions?
Motion to approve. Get a land.
Motion to approve the regional list of priority projects developed through the Central Florida MPO Alliance. Is there a second?
Second.
You have a second? Is there any discussion? Any discussion or debate? Is there any objection to the motion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, show the motion passes unanimously. All right, we have two presentations here. We have a presentation discussion of the draft 2040 long-range transportation plan, LTRP, congestion management process, CMP. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is recognized this morning.
Good morning again. Martha Moore from Gabby and Associates. This is an update to let you know where we are in the congestion management process. I presented the concept of a congestion management process to you a few months ago, and just in general, we've developed many capacity projects. You've got that project list today. And once we actually complete those projects, we have to go back and measure if any good came out of it. Did we actually reduce congestion on the roads? It's an FHWA requirement. And so we've developed our draft congestion management process that's under review right now. And in it, we lay out measures of effectiveness that are based on our objectives that relate back to the goals and the vision of the LRTP, and how we'll be able to measure things such as, did we reduce congestion? Did we reduce the accidents on these roads by making improvements? There's a parallel effort going on through central office to measure improvements, ITS. It's sort of a modeling effort where they say, if we make these ITS improvements along a corridor, say ISB, will they actually improve things? And so altogether, we'll be able to, every year, every 2 years, go in, measure, and see, are these projects making a difference on the roads within the metropolitan planning area? If you have any questions on the document, we do have it on our website, which is www.r2c.mobility2040.com. And if you have any questions on the process, I can answer that.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes. Commissioner Cusack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is this. The criteria that is used to determine areas that will make this list, where is that criteria set?
Recognized.
Okay. When you say areas that will make this list, you mean what is a congested road?
Yes. What qualifies that to
you
be?
Look at what we call the V over C ratio, or volume to capacity. A road has the capacity to move a certain number of vehicles. And when we do our traffic counts, we know how many are actually on the road at that time. And you get a percentage. And the closer that percentage gets to one, the greater the congestion is. Because when it hits 100%, that means that road is full. And it starts moving up over 100%, then that's when you get your traffic jams that you see in the morning and at peak hours. So that's what we're using to identify as a congested road.
Not accidents, not crashes, just...
That's one of our measures of effectiveness that we can say, all right, we widened this road or we widened a parallel facility. Did the crashes go down? That'll just be one of the... We define a list of congested roads, and then we have ways to measure the improvements through these measures of effectiveness, performance measures.
So where is that list found, the criteria you used?
That's within the congestion management process, and we can certainly send you a copy.
So if you
have
would.
It, we'll make a note and do that for you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Moore. Mr. Ferguson, FDOT answers questions regarding projects on the FDOT. Mr. construction status report and push button report.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson.
I always thought push button was something you said wrong to your wife. And
well, the projects just keep rolling along. We continue to make progress on them. The I-4 and I-95 US 92 systems interchange is beginning to get into high gear. There will be numerous changes made to different ramps over a period of time. I would highly recommend that you go to our website, cflroads.com, and see if you can get set up for certain notifications. The website itself maintains itself in an updated status to notify of ramp closures and so on, and there will certainly be some as that project rolls along through its construction phase. So I just wanted to recommend, particularly when you're coming to this meeting, that you might want to consult that website. Secondly, we're moving along on the State Road 415 project. The one down from Seminole County north to Reed Ellis is continuing to move along. It's still got another not quite year to go before estimate completion date. And of course, the I-4 project is now in its second phase of completing the lanes in the other direction. Besides that, the Ped Bridge that's 92 is roughly about halfway done now. We do anticipate completion most likely early next year. Were there any particular projects anyone else would care to ask about?
Anybody have any questions?
Yes, the lighting arrangements around I-4 interchange,
yes.
Lake Helen,
right.
You had that project scheduled to completion around when?
For right now, it's still in the design phase.
Okay.
Once it leaves design, the project exists within our existing right-of-way, so as soon as design is complete, it will begin to appear on this report as a construction date becomes near.
The reason I ask is we are in the process of putting some lighting down Main Street,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to know how much would that project affect our Main Street lighting project as far as it, how far would you go? So I'll speak to you about that.
Okay, sure.
Appreciate it.
Certainly.
Any other questions for Mr. Ferguson? Okay. Item Roman numeral 7, Executive Director's Report. I know we're just sitting here wanting to know what's going on with State Road 417 update on that little bit of money there.
Well, then I'll start with that.
Okay. Sketch analysis.
That's it. I've been in communication with Florida's Turnpike staff, Mike Shannon, their Director of Development, and we have discussed what we're looking for. What the interest in this area is. He was trying to get a little more familiar with the project, and what he had recommended and we agreed to is that he and his staff would do a sketch analysis, which is kind of a high-level preliminary look at the project to get a sense of what has changed and what the outcome of this study may look like. And that's not an unusual activity to do before you decide whether you need to spend money or how you need to spend that money. He's also going to go ahead and put together an outline or summary of the scope that they would be able to complete, because a lot of questions have been asked about, well, what are we really going to get for $700,000? There are existing alignments. There's been a question about other alignments. I don't think there's enough money for that, so he's going to put together, again, that outline. He expects to have the sketch analysis done sometime in the next few weeks, sometime in the beginning of July. So we'll be bringing that information back to you all. I will share it with you as soon as I get it, but we'll be bringing it back for discussion on the August agenda, again, just so that we are all well informed on what we might be able to do and what the turnpike would be looking at.
Does that include the 442 Edgewater and what Deltona, they'll look at that analysis also. Is that going to be?
They won't be looking at State Road 442. That was a separate project, and you all noticed when we looked at the draft long-range plan, an extension of 442 is included in the cost-feasible section of the long-range plan. It is considered in an out year and really just getting through the PD&E phase, the project development phase, where they'll look at the feasibility of that, because obviously it is going through a very wet area. So much like the project we're talking about, it'll probably require some special attention to environmental and design. So the project is currently in the long-range plan from the current terminus near 95 out to State Road 415. What that alignment will be, again, will be worked out as we go through a PD&E for that project. But that's a separate project. That's the extension of 417, okay. Or 442, 417 to 95 is, again, a different study entirely.
Commissioner Conroy, I didn't mean to jump ahead on you there, but.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lois, got a question for you. Back, this body, back in, is it March or April, we voted to send a letter of communication supporting those projects. Have we ever sent that letter?
Oh, yes. Yes, and that was included in a prior agenda packet. That was sent under the chair's signature, and that was, I think, what initiated the Volusia County to take it up to start with.
Okay.
But, yeah,
I've never saw it, so I'm just.
I'll make sure you get a copy.
Thank
actually,
you so much.
Before you leave.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, members, any members have any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank the board for putting up and dealing with our flirtation of the paving Page Avenue. I think our district representative with the county and a number of our city officials have met. We're going to work on a different path. So, again, I appreciate everybody's time listening to our residents come and speak. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any other members?
We appreciate you stopping the flirtation.
Ms. Blaze?
Sir, this is my last day on this board as the CAC chairman. I first came aboard this board in 2004 as the Holly Hill commissioner representing the city. I've seen a lot of improvement since then. Came back on the CAC board in 2007 to see that the work that was done in the early part, we followed through. My experience in transportation, I did 2 years with the police department in Daytona, 65 to 66. I did 32 years in Holly Hill. So therefore, for many years, Holly Hill was a sleepy town and nobody cared about transportation until we had to wake up because we are surrounded and we don't want any gridlock in Holly Hill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service with us over the years. See, there's several information items. The next River to CTPO board meeting will be August 26, 2015. No other business to come before us. We are adjourned. Thank you.